So again, this is not going to be anything to do with the Book of Ruth, I think, which is Dan's topic for the study during this next few weeks. So I'm going to throw a question out there just to start this out. When we think about the life of a Christian, what is something, this isn't a trick question, that is unique in the life of a Christian? So think of it this way. Those in the world, those who do not know Christ or have not obeyed Christ and the gospel, they don't have something that Christians have. What could that be?
Guidance.
Okay. And there are quite a few right answers here, by the way. So again, this is not a trick question. Guidance from God's word, right, of how to live life. What else? What is unique to Christians? Forgiveness. Right. Absolutely. We can have forgiveness through obedience of the gospel that comes through the word. Becoming a Christian, we have forgiveness.
Peace.
Absolutely. A peace that surpasses understanding. The world cannot understand the peace that can come and the joy, for that matter, that can come from being a Christian. What else is unique?
God's grace and mercy.
God's grace and mercy. Exactly. And God wants that for all, but that comes to his children. No matter where you travel, you have family. We've got family, exactly. And it's well beyond blood family. We've got the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's absolutely unique. And now, I mean, several of these things, people in the world could say, well, I've got a community, I've got a group, but it's different, isn't it? I mean, so you can say, well, there's some similarities in a few things, but those things are unique. People can say, well, I have peace, I have happiness, I have joy, but there are some unique aspects, absolutely, to a Christian.
Salvation,
absolutely, exactly. Eternal life, and you know, again, people in the world would say, well, I don't even believe in that. Okay, but absolutely right. I'm going to keep going.
The big picture,
absolutely. We can see the big picture. We know what is going to happen, and we just have to be prepared for it. Still waiting on one that is actually going to be the topic of my, so I'm a little concerned here. We might not get to something that is unique, which these are great, by the way.
Hope.
Absolutely.
You live a different life.
Say that again.
You live a different life.
That's right. And that's because of our hope, because of our joy, because of the peace, because of salvation. We live a different life. We live differently. We should look different.
Providential care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Faith. Yep. Yes, ma'am?
An answer to every problem.
We've got guidance on what we need. Okay, so I'm going to give a little... Oh, we got another. Following the word of truth, absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to kind of give a hint. We started out with this just before I got into, what was it?
Praying.
Thank you. There it is. The one I was looking for, at least. All these are outstanding. Prayer is one that really the world can't even say. I really have anything even like it, right? Prayer is absolutely unique to Christians. And again, all these have been out. They're great answers. There's so many things, blessings, as far as being a Christian. What I thought we'd talk about, because we've been talking, the Wednesday night summer series is about prayers, right? And examples we have of great prayers in the Word. And so kind of along those lines, I thought we'd talk a little bit about prayer. Let me just ask, what is prayer? And I think we all kind of generally know the answer, but throw something. What is prayer? It's talking to God, right? Yes, it's... So it is a way for us as Christians to communicate with our Creator, right? It is a way for us to talk to God through His Son, Jesus. So, how are we able to have that relationship? Because of the other things we talked about, because of salvation, because we are saved, because we put on Christ, because we are in Christ, we can then speak to God the Father. So the world, non-Christians, cannot have that, can they? So it is unique to Christians. So with that, I'm going to show kind of a little bit of my vulnerability here. I was raised going to church. I was raised in the church, but I have to admit, I still to this day at times have problems thinking that my prayers really matter. I don't know if that's something that you deal with or think about, but sometimes I think I'm so insignificant. Can my prayer, even though I know the answer, I know what God's word says, but sometimes I feel like, really, why does my prayer matter? Does it matter? And the answer is absolutely it does. But do you ever kind of feel that way sometimes, maybe, that things are, there's so much happening or whatever, and really my prayer's going to make a difference? But yet, we know from God's word, and we'll study some about it, how amazing and powerful prayer is, and that is from every single person. It's the ability of every Christian to be able to use prayer and have prayer. So when we think about prayer, and again, I'm not trying to say that some of us pray well and others don't, but why do we not pray more? And I'll kind of explain that. You know, when I was a kid, I think my mom had a different definition of what a clean room meant versus my definition. You know, if my mom said, go clean your room, okay, I'll take care of a couple of things. Done. Do you think that was clean according to her perspective? Or, you know, there's something going on and, hey, you better go in and brush your teeth. I run in there, do a couple of swipes, brushed them. That's taken care of, right? I did it. So when I'm kind of saying, why do we maybe not pray more, I'm not asking, do you say your prayers? Or do you say a prayer? But more, do we really pray? Did I really clean my room? Did I really brush my teeth? The same thing could be said about coming to the worship assembly. We can be at the worship assembly. That doesn't mean we're worshiping. Do we really worship during the worship assembly? So, do we really pray when we pray? What are some reasons people might say, well, maybe I don't really pray? What are some things that get in the way of that? Any thoughts? Complacency? Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything's going great. And usually, at least my tendency is, when things are going great, that's because of something I've done. When things are going wrong, oop, that's somebody else's. I better go to God and get some help with it. I mean, that kind of tends to be how we as humans tend to, if we're not careful, tend to do that. Yes, we're distracted. We're too blessed in some ways, and then we maybe don't really pray. What else? Absolutely. That's the first verse I have on here. Pray without ceasing. That's not a request, is it? And that just means we've got to keep praying. But again, when we pray, We got to be careful that we're not just going through the motions. Are we really praying? Why else might we just maybe be going through the motions, saying our prayers, or not really praying?
Sin?
And what do you mean by that? From the standpoint of maybe that's getting in the way of us even thinking about prayer? We're kind of caught up in sin?
Or if you don't want to confront God about sin.
Okay. Okay. There's maybe some... Okay. Yeah. In other words, you're kind of like, well, if I start praying, I might have to stop sinning, or I might stop doing something that I want to do that I know is kind of wrong. And some people, you don't want to do that, which comes back to selfishness and pride and not really focusing on how we should live our lives. Absolutely. What else keeps us? Sorry. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah, so people will put their kind of their faith or their power in other things other than where they should be putting it, and then they lose sight of where that relationship should be. Absolutely. What about being too busy? Too busy. Are we busy? Are you busy? I probably, even if I'm not, I tend to we always say, oh, things are busy. Things are always busy, and they are, aren't they? Lives are busy, and they're not slowing down much, are they, typically? I even hear about people that retire and say, I got busier when I retired. Does that hold true? Maybe, maybe not, in some ways. But too busy. Some people might say, well, I'm not good at it. Okay? So maybe I don't really pray because I don't feel I'm very good at it. We don't plan. Don't plan to pray. And therefore, we maybe lose sight of it. Kind of gets a little bit to that too busy. What do you think about this statement? Think this holds some truth to it? He who is too busy to pray will be too busy to live a holy life. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. That means something, right? Pray without ceasing. Exactly. It's hard to be thankful for things when they're going wrong. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I heard something the other day about instead of looking at things as problems, look at it as what is the opportunity around that problem? Or where can we be thankful, whether it helps us to be more patient or whatever it might be? Absolutely. It's a difficult thing. But prayer always helps. He who is too busy to pray will be too busy to live a holy life. Another one, when one ceases to pray, he ceases to live spiritually. If we're not, God's word talks to us and gives so many examples about how we are to be continually praying, never giving up on prayer. So if we aren't, then are we really living an obedient and spiritual life? And that's kind of what those are getting to. In many of the chapters that we've been looking with our weekly or daily chapter reading have been in Acts. Let's look at a couple of examples in Acts. Acts chapter 6. We'll see that prayer needs to be happening, as we talked about, just continuously, and for many different reasons. Not when we're just in trouble, not when there's trials, not when there's persecutions, but we know that many times when we get to kind of this concept of, well, wow, things are too busy, things are too difficult, and I tend to forget prayer. Let's look at some kind of things that were going on here in Acts, just since these are kind of, I guess, on our minds recently with our daily reading. Acts chapter 6. Get to it here. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, they're dealing with some issues here, and then they, you know, if we look starting at chapter 3, verse 3 of chapter 6, therefore, brethren, select among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, when they were needing to help some of the widows that weren't being helped. And it says in verse 4, but we just say a prayer and leave it at that? It says, we will devote ourselves to prayer. and to the ministry of the word. We will devote. What does that mean? What does it mean to be devoted to something? You're focused. You're all in. And they are saying, we will devote ourselves to prayer. So when there's a need that arises, they're devoting themselves to prayer. Look in Acts chapter 14, during Paul's missionary journeys. It's interesting. We were even talking about this just at home this last week, of how emotional and how many things were going on in the life of Paul at this time and those that were with him, and how prayer was such an important part of this, no matter what was happening. So we talk about, you know, are we too busy? Are things going on too much that we don't really pray? We might say our prayers, but don't really pray. Let's look at some of these, of what's going on in just Paul's life. And this was even talked about, in a sense, with Gail this last Wednesday night, using Paul as an example of prayers that we need to look at and be like. Chapter 14, verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And then chapter 16, verses 23 through 25. So Paul and Silas in prison, when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were crying and griping about all the difficulties they were having. No. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So this wasn't even a prayer of woe is me, but they were praying. Difficult times, good times, praying. And do you think that, well, let's look at another couple of verses before I make this point. Chapter 20. Chapter 20, let's actually read starting in verse 30. And from among you, and from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, what did he do? He knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to his ship. Can you sense maybe the level of emotion that was going on here? It says they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him. But yet in the middle of everything that was going on, it says that he knelt down and prayed with them all. How important is prayer? To really, really pray. Do you think Paul was busy? There was a little bit going on in Paul's life, but what did he do? In the middle of everything, no matter what he was dealing with, he prayed. Chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. After looking up the disciples, he stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. They were concerned about Paul, about what was going to happen. Again, just everything that was going on. And they were saying, Paul, don't go. Don't go. When our days there were ended, we left and started on our journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. And we said farewell to each other, but what did they do first? After kneeling down on the beach and praying. Prayer, it doesn't matter how busy. As a matter of fact, the busier we are, the more important prayer is. But do I really believe that? Am I really thinking about that and then really praying? So if we want to really pray, how can we do that? How can we improve our prayer life? Throwing that question out there. How can we work on that? What can we do?
Make it a priority.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking about that. And kind of when I think about that, when you make it a priority, sometimes that means you schedule it, in a sense. Okay? Right. Exactly. And many times we do. We tend to, and there are some people that are better at this than others. Some people almost enjoy staying in pain versus going to God and praying and searching for help, or going to others around and saying, let's do this, let's help each other together. And it is sometimes hard. And the other thing that I think related to that is part of my problem is I feel like I have to be in control. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to take care of this. And yes, God, I need you, but I need you to do what I need to take place, instead of saying, you know, God, I'm going to pray to you and let you handle this and give it to you. And we'll be talking about that as well. So yes, it's about making sure that we give it to God. What else? What else can we do to help improve our prayer life? Yes, ma'am. Trust in God. Absolutely. Have faith that God can handle this. And that's what's crazy, how we think that, oh, we've got this, instead of saying, God, I trust you, and I'm going to give it to you. Kind of along these lines, a couple of the things that I have listed here, and it does get to priority, but part of it is simply just kind of training ourselves. When I'm thinking about, okay, I've got control, I'm going to take care of this, then I just go do it. That must mean I need to rethink before anything I do, pray first. I've got to train myself. Somebody doesn't become, you know, we use the example that some people don't pray more, maybe because they say, well, I'm not good at it. How do you get good at something? You keep doing it, right? You practice, you train, you keep working on it. Exactly. Yes, if we don't have God as the first priority in our lives, as our first priority from a relationship standpoint, we're not going to go to Him first. That comes back to our own selfishness and saying, okay, here's me, here's God, and when I have time, I'll go to you, God. Well, that doesn't work, does it? You're right, absolutely. And that comes back to also thinking about when anything comes up, who am I going to first? How am I going to make decisions? If we look at Luke chapter 6, best example we can have in anything is Jesus, right? Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent how long in prayer to God? The whole night. Now, I'm not saying that means we have to spend, I don't know how long you typically sleep, whether it's 4 hours or 8 hours, that we have to spend a whole night in prayer. But if Jesus spent a whole night in prayer, do you think it was important? Do you think it was important? And when the day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. He prayed all night before selecting the apostles. Look back in Daniel. How many times a day did Daniel pray? Does anybody remember? 3 times, right? And it was because he wasn't busy, because nothing was going on. Right? Gary? Absolutely. So yes, so Jesus was tempted in all ways, just like we were. He was a man and yet never sinned. He was a human and never sinned. How did he do that? He had to be in contact with God, and he was constant. We'll see a few examples. Constant and consistent in prayer, and we who are full of sin struggle with going to God in prayer. It's absolutely true. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Instead of our first thought, and it needs to be our first thought. Exactly. God needs to be our first thought. Keeping in mind that, I think it was Buzz that said something about the bigger picture that we have as Christians. I hope it was you that said that. Keeping our mind on, why are we really here? What is our purpose? And who are we living for? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for God? Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Actually, if we even just go up a couple of verses. Verse 7. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors, have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, the king, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document that is the injunction. So, just a little bit going on for David here, because this was all about David. So, David immediately stopped praying. Nope. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, this is verse 10, he entered his house. So you notice that this was as soon as this happened, now when he knew that the document was signed, he went home, he entered his house, now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he was doing previously. So what does this also indicate? He didn't just, hey, this happened, so now I better go to God in prayer. What does this verse tell us? He prayed 3 times a day, and it says something there at the very end of the verse. What does it say? As he had what? As he had done before. So there was repetition there. There was a purpose. There was intent. There was training, if you will. So, prayer was his go-to, right? That is what he did. He prayed to his God. That was very much, probably the most important thing happening in his life. And everything else then revolved around his relationship with God. So is prayer our go-to? For good, for bad, whatever it is that's going on in our lives, is prayer our go-to? So if we think about it, should we not be living our lives in a way that is kind of this, hey, before I post it, social media, pray. Before I say it, pray. Now, I don't mean, okay, what'd you have for lunch today? Hold on a second, let me pray about that. And then I'll tell you. No, you know what I mean. Before we're going to say something, before we speak to someone about something that has some level of importance, maybe we should pray about it. Before you confront, pray. Before you choose, pray. Before you accept, pray. Before you send that email, before you send that text, pray. Yes? Exactly. And we've got examples of that in the Bible too, right? Purposeful in our prayer, right? And we can pray about very specific things. We can pray before we send an email and say, you know, help me, God, help me understand. Let's think through. And sometimes that's just to give us time to say, wow, what is it that I'm about to say on this? And would this be okay? Is this how I should be responding as a Christian, whatever it might be? Right. And like you said, even someone that wasn't religious knew the power of prayer. And yet we sometimes kind of, maybe at least in our actions, almost dismiss it when we shouldn't. Again, not that we're not knowing that. I mean, it's just like I told you at the beginning, I struggle with does my prayer really matter? Just my prayer? Even though I know the answer to it. That can be a struggle. So before we do anything of importance, pray. Before we even enjoy things, let's pray. Before we go through the storm or through the rainbows and through the glorious times, let's pray. Because when we're in a storm, sometimes, you know, it's never too late to pray, but you could be well into something that you could have gone to God well beforehand. And prayer makes a difference. Islay talked about kind of priority. Scheduling. You know, David, or Daniel, 3 times a day. Likely, was probably around the same times a day. Kind of had probably a routine, a schedule. If we need to, we tend to schedule meals, right? Breakfast, lunch, dinner. We schedule a lot of things. I have a calendar for work. Why? Because it's got to be scheduled, or else I kind of get nothing done. Why do we think prayer should be anything differently? We can pray any time, but should we not also kind of say, you know what? I need to have a schedule here to make sure that I really pray, that I take the time to really pray to God. A prayer journal. Yes, a prayer journal. So, and it makes it more purposeful. Right? And that helps you then be thankful to God in prayer, as well as be purposeful in your prayer. Absolutely. Mark chapter 1. It says in verse 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Now, it doesn't say exactly here, but do you think it's possible that this might have been his routine to get up early in the morning, find a quiet place, and pray? That doesn't mean to say that our routine has to be exactly, okay, let's get up every morning and this is how we're going to do it. But a lot of people love to start their day, right, with the first thing I'm going to do is spend time in prayer and in meditation and studying, because it sure can make the day go a lot better, right, when God's on your mind. But the point being here is that likely for Jesus, I mean, we know he was constantly in prayer. And by the way, the temptation, sometimes we think, oh, well, Jesus was tempted during that 40 days, right? And then, okay, it was all good. It was constant, wasn't it? Which he was constantly tempted. Even in one of the accounts of when he was tempted by Jesus, it says at the end of that, that Satan was continuing to look for opportunities to tempt him. It wasn't just a one-time thing for Jesus. And beyond that, even with the mission of what Jesus was trying to accomplish, he was consistently and had a routine on going to God. So why don't we? And maybe we do, but if we don't, why don't we? You might be a rooster or an owl, but we need to purposefully spend time with God. We need to go to him with a routine, be scheduled, and have discipline, and make our prayers real. Really pray. And I need this more than I think probably anyone in this room. And it comes back to then also, and we've talked about this, and I'm not nearly getting as far as I wanted to get on this, but it really does come back to our prayers can only be real with God if we truly have faith and trust in God to give him the things that, you know, whether it's the thanksgiving, whether it's the requests, whether it's the problems that we have, if we still say, oh, I'll pray to you, God, but I got this, we've got a problem, and we need to repent of that. If we're saying, you know, I'll pray to you, but it's not really going to work, or my prayer doesn't matter, I've got a problem. We've got to trust in God. We've got to give it to God. And there's so many verses that we can get to that talk about what prayer can do for us that we're not going to have time to get into. But I challenge us all. Train ourselves to go to God in prayer. Schedule time with God in prayer. Make it purposeful. Make it intentional. Any final comments, Gary? Yep. Prayer is the key, but faith unlocks the door. And prayer is our avenue to God, right? Where does the power come from? Prayer isn't the power. Who has the power? God. God has the power, but he needs to hear from us and work through prayer. Any other final comments? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the comments.